festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But it is to fulfill the scripture, 'The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me.' I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Very truly, I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." Let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and as we set our hearts and our eyes on you during this season, and really think and meditate on what you've done for us on the cross, we just thank you from the bottom of our heart, and may this day, as a congregation, we really seek after you. We lay down all our anxieties and all our worries and all our self-will at the foot of the cross, and we just hunger after you, and we invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts today, and may each word really flow from you, and that individually we'll hear from you, and also corporately as a body. We love you in Jesus' name, amen. So today's devotional was written by John Snellgrove. He's a founding senior pastor and ambassador for the Vine Church. He and his wife, Sandra, have lived in Hong Kong for 27 years, and they have a rather large natural family of 11, and a spiritual family of thousands spread around the world. And so let me just quickly read through his devotion before I move on to my message. So John here says, "I'm writing this at a very emotional time of my life. It is my first day in my new role as a founding senior pastor and ambassador of the Vine. My wife Sandra and I have just had our feet washed by our senior pastors Andrew and Christine Gardner. Having just walked 30 kilometers from Tuen Mun to Wan Chai was a very welcome healing balm to my blistered feet, but its significance was totally spiritual. Today's passage from John 13 tells the famous story of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Jesus did not invent this ritual. It was ingrained in the Jewish tradition. What it represented was both honor and humility. But what Jesus was doing here was turning tradition and human hierarchy upside down. He was rewriting the rule book. Custom dedicated that the person whose feet were being washed was in the position of esteem or importance. Servants would wash the feet of their masters. In washing the disciples' feet, Jesus was reversing the process and encouraging the so-called masters to wash the feet of their servants. It was leadership by servanthood, an example for us as followers to copy. It was also at the same time a great act of humility, for washing feet meant kneeling at the feet of the recipient, the ultimate humble position. How our churches need humble servant leaders and to establish a culture of honor that's not based on title or position. So when I first got assigned this this day or this passage, I was thinking, oh, it's that passage where Jesus washes the feet, and it's really quite an image that's very explicit and well ingrained. I thought surely I can't speak much more about it. But just let's look at the context in which this was took place, as your other fellow house church leaders have taken you through in the last few weeks. Chapters 2 through to 12, Jesus was actually in public ministry. He was out there, he was talking to the public, he was doing miracles. And here we have a shift and a change of scene to a much more intimate setting, and he's just with in a private teaching mode with those closest to him. It's quite a poignant scene. If you think about it, it's on the day before Jesus knows he's going to die, and he chooses not to do some grand miracle, but he really chooses just to gather around his most beloved. And on his last day, he doesn't have his bucket list or the things he wants to do, but he chooses to do something just very simple, very touching, to serve those whom he loves. And it does definitely say something about why we're here and what gives meaning to our lives. So I have a little toolbox on how I usually approach the passage. I give a kudos to Pastor Sam Kim, who's in Beijing. And so first I usually look at what this passage says about the nature of God and the heart of God and Jesus. Secondly, what it says about the nature of man, condition of our hearts, and what is really the truth claim here, and how would our lives look like if we actually live this out. So if we reread the opening verse in the scene, John does a little preamble before he actually goes on to describe what happens. He goes, "Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself." The significance of this is John really anchors the identity of Jesus before he goes on to do what he's about to do. And I particularly like this, the line which goes in that, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. So Jesus knows exactly why he is here, what he's about to do, and that's exactly why he could do it. The full security in his identity, sharing in the divine presence of God, leads to an act of love to its fullest extent. And that love, that act of love to its fullest extent, can be read both in terms of the symbolic act of washing the feet, but it's also very intimately tied with what he is about to do on the cross. We look at the context in which Jesus does this. In Luke's parallel account of the foot washing, we know actually that there was a dispute among the disciples before Jesus goes on to do this. It was a dispute about which among them was considered to be greatest. It is in this kind of context that Jesus rises up and shows them, in the midst of their ego, they can be so competitive even in seeking spiritual things, that Jesus gets up and shows them how it is really done. And as Pastor Sam has preached many times, and as we have also come to know, God's economy is a little bit different from ours. Everything's upside down. If you want to be first, you have to be last. If you want to live, you must die. And if you want to live, if you want to lead, you must serve. And you look at what Jesus does. He doesn't just go and wash the feet. And this was an act, as the pastor who wrote this devotional said, that the slaves did. He actually doesn't just get a bucket. He goes and takes off his robes, and he ties a towel around his waist. So he actually dresses up as a slave, effectively. He goes the full mile. And then when he's finished cleaning the nasty feet of his disciples, he takes up his clothes again. Some commentators have alluded to this act, the taking off and the taking up of his garments, as the laying down of his life. and then taking up of his life again later at the cross. Very nicely or eloquently put by one commentator is, in the foot washing, we have an acted parable of the Lord's humiliation unto death. And so this act of foot washing in it has embodied in it this humble act of service, but also the ultimate theological significance of Jesus laying down his life and cleansing us from our sins entirely with his blood. Sandra was just telling me, giving me some help yesterday, and I think it was a Jewish text or something, that the actual act of foot washing, it's like, and the author was saying, you would never ever dream of or imagine in those days of walking into a prince's or king's palace without clean feet, and the slaves would come out and wash your feet before you go in. So on the one hand, it's supposed to be done for the prince, but on the other hand, it makes me also think that, you know, our feet could never be clean walking into the kingdom of God unless God, Jesus had done this for us. And we couldn't do it ourselves. No one could do it except Jesus. And so this ultimate act of love first was anchored in his identity. And I think about that, and I can just like barely tolerate the thought of Jesus washing your feet. But when you think about it, earlier on, Jesus says he only does what he sees the Father doing. So this is effectively God washing your feet. And I don't really have a visual image of God except for like the old man like in the Sistine Chapel, like touching Adam's hand, or like as in a DVD, like a Bible DVD that we have where like he's like a burning bush and he appears to Moses. So I only have two images, visual images of God. So either of those don't really work when I think of God washing our feet. But figuratively speaking, it's very touching to know that God in his, or Jesus' son in his final hour, chooses to reveal himself in the stooping figure of a slave at your feet. And just to grasp that is something, it's really turns your image upside down of God sometimes. So that's the heart of God, really, how much he loves us. It's shown in this very simple act, and also pointing towards the ultimate crucifixion. And then I look at, let's take a look at Peter. Peter in this is quite a funny character. He is the one who gets to walk on water at some point. Jesus is like, oh, you know, I am God, I am the Son of God, come walk on water. And Peter does go on to walk on water. And then a minute later, when the wind comes, he's like, ah, God, so Jesus, save me. So, and then he gets reprimanded by Jesus for having little faith. He's also the one who's impulsively lops off the ear of the Roman guard. And he's also the one here who says, like, no way, when Jesus comes to his feet, to wash his feet. What does this actually say, and what's the significance of Peter's reaction? How much of us is in that reaction? And we think about this, and in one way, it's his reverence for his teacher, fair enough. It's a very normal reaction. I would do the same if anyone tried to approach my feet, unless I was in a spa or something. It shows how Peter really has his own sense of the social norms and the hierarchies, which things should be done. And it's, I wouldn't say it's pride, but it's a little bit of self-will in there. If we think a little bit deeply about it, it's this pride in our own sense of right and wrong, which is actually the root of a lot of our transgressions, even in our sort of religious spirit sometimes, that we think we have our standards of what is spiritually correct and not, and for Jesus to do when ultimately he is sovereign. So what is Jesus' reply to Peter's refusal? He says, you will never, he says, Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no share with me. This is Jesus' pretty direct way of saying, this is not just me washing your dirty feet. It's if, unless I wash you, you cannot partake in fellowship with me. You cannot inherit the kingdom with me, and you are not part of me and not part of my body. And Peter's, Nick's very impulsive reaction, he just flings to the opposite extreme, and he goes, And he goes, bathe me, like wash all of me, wash my head, wash everything. And again, it's a kind of like, well, Jesus has told you what he's going to do, and it's enough. And yet Peter goes on to think that I want more, I want it done this way, I want my whole body cleansed by you. It's a kind of a self-centered, self-willed, even in our pursuit of spiritual things. It's a good desire to want to be entirely to partake in Jesus' body. And it's something, it's this self-centered and self-will, which shows a flawed character in Peter now, but later will ultimately lead to his final denial of Jesus, and after the resurrection, eventually to for Peter to finally clear the path for true humility, and he's the one who actually also goes on to be crucified as well, in the name of Jesus in the end, though upside down, I believe. And let's look at Jesus' second reply to Peter. He says, this one's a little bit more cryptic. One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you. There are various interpretations of this. The one I found, which sat quite nicely with me, is that really Jesus is saying, you've accepted me as the Son of God. You are cleansed in that way. And my blood will clean you entirely. You've received me as the light. But as you go through life, and as he knows also that his disciples will go on to betray him, you will dirty your feet. You will continue to sin. And therefore, it is not your whole body that needs to be washed. You don't need to. You don't need to work for that. It's done by Jesus. But you know, on a daily walk in your spiritual journey, you will stumble, you will sin, and you'll constantly, really to be able to bear spiritual fruit in your life and your walk with the Lord, to be in constant communion with Jesus and to constantly seek his cleansing and repent. That's the nature of a man encapsulated by Peter here, I think, and also the heart of humble heart of God in servanthood. As to what this means for our life and our application, if we go into the next page of the little rainbow book, Jesus is pretty clear. His teaching here is like, no, you won't really understand what I've done for you. I've cleansed your feet until later, which is a lot of things for these disciples will not come to full realization in the meaning in their heart until Jesus goes on to die and does his final sanctification of us. And so very simply, Jesus just says, so if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Does this mean we go and get a bucket and go wash each other's feet? I think there are some rituals in churches who do continue that ritual. As my husband also reminded me, apparently Pope Francis recently also did that ritual. Quite unorthodox, if I dare say, for a Catholic priest to go down on his knees. I don't think he stripped and girded himself in a towel, but he did go down on his knees and wash the feet of the people. So there's a lesson in humility here first, whether that's as Pastor Sam has talked about sonship as well, whether that's in relation to each other, to our fathers, to our husbands, wives, in our workplace, and not just to serve, but if you look at how Jesus did it, it's really to do something quite demeaning to him. And if I think about, have I ever actually done anything in my life which humiliated me in service to another? Probably not. I probably do a lot once the baby comes. But at the moment, to be very honest, I can't think of a time in my life where I really knew I was doing something in humble service to another and to demean myself in doing that. I haven't brought myself to that extent of service yet. I'm sure it'll become. And as part of today's devotion, we should really think about, I mean, not deliberately to seek it out and be a martyr about it, but when it's called, don't shun it and just be discerning. And as usual, Jesus says more than one thing in one passage. And so not only a lesson in humility and servant leadership in our positions, but the fact that he actually washed his disciples' feet, knowing that he would be denied by Peter, knowing that Judas would actually go on to betray him, also shows, he also leads by example how we should approach our brothers and sisters, that knowing their iniquities, we should cover their nakedness, that we serve them, forgiving them of their sins, and also we give, Jesus here, he gives time. He gives time for Peter to repent. He gives time for Peter to grow. And so we shouldn't judge so quickly who we think deserves our service or not, and who will really grow up to be to bear spiritual fruit. And we don't serve from position of for our title or position, but to forgive our brothers for their sins just as we have sinned, and to really serve from that that heart, and that Jesus will do the cleansing. The other aspect of this is also our own cleansing from Jesus. You can take the moral teachings of Jesus here and perhaps a lot of spiritual texts outside of Christianity also preach the same. But the essence here is really that without Jesus cleansing us and to grasp that the act of what he did on the cross for us, the ultimate cleansing, and to know that you can never do that yourself, is an important part of a route or how we go on to serve. The other point I'd like to make in terms of application is really in this passage, John also captures the theme of a mission. Let's see here. Jesus says, "Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." And to see this in the context of foot washing, it's really to understand our place as witnesses of Jesus, as Christian witnesses. It's not a sign of a power or authority here, but it's that if we do represent Jesus Christ and we become the witnesses, we actually bear the same self-sacrificing love that will be met most likely with the same response that Jesus was met with. So it's not to be reminded as witnesses that we have a place of position and power here, but we end up in humble service to God. And this is the essence of the story of the foot washing, that we really have, in a very simple and humble act, the most profound revelation of the heart of God, apart from the crucifixion itself. And so today, I just invite you to really think about people in your life, perhaps those of you who have not stood by because you think they have sinned against you, or really because we have, or more often than not, just taken for granted as well. We think about those people around us, whether it be your family members, people at workplace, or your friends and brothers and sisters, how far you have really gone in terms of loving. We often love when it's natural for us to do so, and think about the people who have been hard to love in your life as well. Think about your position in your families and in your workplaces. How have you been a leader? Whether you're a leader of one or 100 or 1,000, are you really leading by example? Are you taking Jesus' footsteps? Are you, especially in a city like Hong Kong, where titles and social hierarchies are quite explicit, are you working from that perspective? Or do you really see us as equals under God's eye, and that as Jesus did for his disciples, that we can stoop to lead by servant, a model of servant leadership? So I just invite you, is it Jeff? Yeah, Jeff, to lead us in a song, and just close your eyes and meditate on that today, and think about who you can honor, and what a life led, what a life of fully laying down your life and your love for one another means, and what it would look like. And start simple, maybe, And it's a journey as a disciple show that goes on to the very end, as Jesus also shows. So just close your eyes. Just move into our community prayer focus, and just start praying for all those in our body who are suffering from cancer. For those suffering from illness but also in need of salvation, let's just spend some time praying for them. And sisters and their loved ones with infirmities. Let's just spend some time praying for them. Thank you. Next, for those looking for jobs, just pray for doors to be opened and for calm and peace in this waiting period. For our missions focus as well, and our various ministries here at SP, house churches today, Soho, Harborside, Taihang, and Thursday evening activities. Today we have SP Lights Outreach and also Homey Outreach, so let's set our hearts and contend for them and intercede. Close us in prayer. You're welcome to stay afterwards and continue praying. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, to be able to have the time to dedicate ourselves to you this morning. And Lord, help us to really grasp what has been done for us by your Son Jesus, but that to really know that our walk continues with you every day from the moment we wake, from the moment to the moment we sleep. And just as we go out into our workplaces today, let this word sink in and let it become active in our lives. Not something we understand, but something we can project into practical life, and to understand that our mission here really is to serve your kingdom, to love each other, and give each of us individually a way to do that in our different in different areas, and to different people in our life, and just speak to us and keep our hearts open and keep us hungry for you. And the Lord bless you all, and have a good day. In Jesus' name, amen.